Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke. It's a Friday night, or it will be in a few hours, and you're looking for a place to eat. Someplace you want to escape to, have a nice filling meal, maybe a refreshing drink or two, and some conversation. But fast food or a lively chain restaurant just doesn't sound like it will fit the bill. The Wisconsin solution might be a supper club, known for their Friday night fish fries, Saturday night steak dinners, full bar, linen napkins, and dim lighting. They're a temporary escape into the past. There's often entertainment of some kind, making a meal maybe into an all-night affair. Certainly, there is no room for dine and dash. Chicago Sun-Times writer Dave Hoekstra ate at these places while traveling around the Midwest looking for the next story and his next meal. He felt it was time to write about these Midwest treasures, and in his newest book, The Supper Club Book, he features many of those at which he ate. Hoekstra sat down with Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson, not in the Lake Effect studios, but in Madison at one of the supper clubs he profiles.
We're at Smokey's, in great supper club slash steakhouse in Madison, Wisconsin.
Now, why here?
Well, it's in the book. It's in the book. It's a legendary place, and they're having an anniversary party tonight as well, I believe. They tied in the book release party with their anniversary party.
Again, in your newest book, The Supper Club, which just came out recently, you feature select supper clubs from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and one or two in Michigan. What is a supper club?
I started this as part of my travel columns at the Sun-Times, and I would just have a little checklist. It was kind of just kind of tongue-in-cheek for fun, and I would just walk around and with my little criteria, you know. So in this place, I mean, a Friday night fish fry, you know, prime rib on Saturday. Supper clubs have linen napkins, you know. These days that's kind of cost prohibitive, but that's a thing of a good supper club. A great relish tray. It's some stuff like that here tonight. Maybe a little out of style. Lazy Susan is a good thing of a supper club. Dim lighting. Smokey's has dim lighting. Dead fish on the wall, stuffed fish, stuff like that. A lot of them have, when you're driving around, you know, just a scenic view, a nice rural, like, woods, lake view, you know, good neon. It's a cheap escape, you know.
What is the concept of a supper club? Is it more focused on the food or of the ambiance or a little of both?
Little of both. I think back in the day, maybe in the 40s and 1950s, I would always ask people where the club term came from, and nobody really had a definitive answer for that. But in the 40s and 50s, when the drinking laws were a little looser and stuff, people would come to a club, a supper club, as early as 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, supper time, supper being a rural term. And they'd have a couple drinks and stuff. Then they would adjourn to the dining room, you know, have a nice leisurely dinner, you know, look out at that scenic view I was just talking about. Then they'd come back in the lounge and hear live music and have a couple more, you know, it'd be like a 6 or 7 hour night. You know, they have 4 or 5 cocktails. And two things have happened. I mean, the DUI laws as well as it's more expensive to have live entertainment. You know, some supper clubs still have a piano player, a little trio and stuff. But club, I think, was just like a clubby destination to get away to.
So getting away to it, looking at your map that you feature in the book, a lot of the locations, which happen to be in either Minnesota or Wisconsin, are following 94. Were they really located by interstates, or were they kind of just off the road, or were they more or less hidden?
That's a good question. Maybe the interstates built around them. You know, there's in Iowa, the ones I have in Iowa are on the old Lincoln Highway, which actually celebrates its 100th anniversary this year. And, you know, that was a big route. And, again, maybe some of the club name where these were speakeasies. And, you know, there's one in Cedar Rapids they have where Capone and Dillinger would stop in there on their runs, you know, back to Chicago and stuff. And they have, like, one of those little one-eyed window things that you look out. And, you know, its roots are in the speakeasy, which a little bit of the club thing comes from. So, yeah, I think the rural two-laners, you know, gave birth to these.
You also touch on the history of the individual supper clubs. When did they start, though? Where did they start?
Well, the first one, actually, it's in the foreword of the book. I don't know the exact date, but it was in the 1930s, and it was actually in L.A., but it was started by a Wisconsin guy.
Wisconsinite.
Yeah, right, yeah. And he started a supper club in Los Angeles. But, you know, they just grew up around, you know, the rural Midwest and developed there, you know, the farm families and things like that. And now they're being kind of reformed and reconfigured. I've got some newer supper clubs in the book, like the old-fashioned in Madison, which is run by young people, and they're very green, very farm-to-table type stuff. They shop at the farmer's market there at the Capitol and stuff. But they use the White Stag up by Rhinelander as a template. They grew up around there. So they're using their memories and putting them into a play in a very, very trendy and popular restaurant. You
know? Who are the kind of people who go into this business? Are they going to be the farm rural types? Are they the newer types like you were talking about?
Definitely all independent. Definitely family. You know, I've met a lot of second and third generation people. Here is like second or third generation right here at Smoky. Mm-hmm. No chains. There's no chains in the book. You know. Or people who are starting anew, but again, have the supper club memories they draw from. There's one in downtown Detroit that's the only one in Michigan in the book, Cliff Bell's. I mean, there are a bunch of 30-year-olds who are taking like an old supper club right in downtown Detroit, in a really rough area downtown Detroit. And they're using, you know, like things like the Green Mill in Chicago as a template for their design. And they're bringing in live jazz. And so it's really, to me, it's really exciting as it kind of morphs. And people go, a supper club is going to be dead. I think it's almost like when we talk about Route 66 and stuff. You know, nothing's ever set in one place. Route 66 always evolves, and these supper clubs are always going to be evolving. They'll always be around in some form.
So supper clubs are found around the entire nation, not just the Midwest? Or are there more?
Well, again, as time moves on, people like use the term loosely. You know, this last summer I was in Harlem, and I went to they called it a supper club. It was in the basement of a jazz club, and they called it a supper club. And they didn't have anything like, you know, a Friday night fish fry or prime rib, you know, but they had, like, sophisticated drinks. They had live jazz and stuff. And around Chicago, I know there's groups of people who have, like, supper clubs on Sunday night at their house. And what it is, it's just they hire a great chef, and they cook privately and stuff, and they call that a supper club. So, you know, the name's being twisted around and changed around. That's cool. You know, it's kind of a catchy name. It keeps it alive. You know?
It does. Yeah, you know? The little piece of nostalgia.
I don't have any ownership to one particular kind of supper club. You know, I mean, it's great. You know?
So with you traveling around the Midwest, especially for this book, you've met a couple of interesting characters, at least that stood out to me, like Marge and Cosette.
Yeah.
Who really stood out to you?
That's what steered the book, you know. I mean, I it's not a book of recipes. I'm not a food critic, you know. I didn't eat that much at these places. You know, I had a couple of beers. I had my first Old Fashioned doing this book. I never had Old Fashioned.
Did you have it at Old Fashioned?
No, you know what? I had it at Mr. Ed's TV. Oh. Ed Thompson. It was a great story. He's since passed away, but he's the brother of Tommy Thompson.
Former governor.
Yeah. And they have a great old-fashioned there. I was telling John here about it. It's like, you know, brandy old-fashioned with a little cinnamon stick in it. It was really, really nice. They claim it's the best old-fashioned in the state. So, yeah, the stories are really what kind of steered the book. I don't know. I didn't know. When I started writing about supper clubs for the Sun-Times, I just was, like, into that whole quick escape thing I was talking about, you know. And then the more I researched this book, it took 3 summers. It's just, like, little, you know, little oral histories, like WPA guides and stuff, you know. And so, like, again, we're here at Smokey's. They have Ozzie, the dishwasher, who they came on board in 1964 and gradually lost his eyesight over the years, and they keep him on board. He still washes dishes, even though he can't see, like a couple nights a week. And what that does, that underscores the sense of community. And the one theme about all these things is the sense of place, you know, how important sense of place is. And this is a place for him to go, you know, and a sense of belonging and stuff. You see that in a lot of these places, you know.
Another interesting thing about the Supper Club book that I found is you were featuring the different supper clubs, and one of them was called the Hobnob. Mm-hmm. And what really surprised me were the big names that frequented the restaurant, such as Frank Lloyd Wright and Walt Disney. Who are the kinds of people who are coming in? Who are they aiming to serve?
I think it was families, you know. I mean, there's one in there, the Dell Bar in Wisconsin Dells, that was designed by one of Wright's students. And that was so close to, you know, Spring Green and all that type of stuff. But I think it was mostly, like, you know, families. One thing I found after the book came out, or as I was working on the book, I heard a lot of people from Chicago. Their parents had, like, summer cottages and stuff in Wisconsin. So that's where their supper club memories come from, is, like, spending summers up there and going out to a different supper club on Friday night for the fish fry and things like that. You know, Wright was working on the factories there in Racine, so I think that's why he came in there and stuff like that. But I think it's mostly a family clientele.
So what is the future of supper clubs? Are they going to be staying around, or are they going to start kind of dying off?
For the most part, I think they'll be around, and, you know, young people taking them over. And there's one in the book, the first chapter, Turks Inn, okay? That's in Hayward, Wisconsin. It's one of the oldest supper clubs in the state. And that woman ran it by herself, 85 years old. She just died a couple months ago. And when I interviewed her, she said I'm glad I captured her history and stuff, but she said when she died, she didn't want it to stay open. She had no family and stuff, so it, you know, kind of fallen on hard times the last few years and stuff, but that's the only one in the book that's not there. They're closed right now, but that was a rare case. So many of them are just, like, you know, family run.
If somebody has never been to a supper club, where would be one of the places you would recommend for a new person to start trying supper clubs?
Well, I do like the Hobnob. You mentioned the Hobnob. That's close to Chicago, and I believe, and somebody have to prove me wrong, it's the only supper club that's right on Lake Michigan. You know, you go, the bar actually has a great shot of Lake Michigan. You go, there's a little patio you can do Lake Michigan. I mean, a lot of these places, you know, look like creeks and rivers, but the Hobnob's right on Lake Michigan. Great, I talked about Great Neon, a great photo ops at the Great Neon at the Hobnob. I like the name, you know, your Hobnob. Again, for Wisconsin, Ishnala, you know. Ishnala is over by the Wisconsin Dells. It's like a little northwest of the Wisconsin Dells, and it's seasonal. It opens around Memorial Day, and I think it closes in early October. And I'm sure it's the only supper club in Wisconsin. It's in a state park. I mean, you go there on a busy Friday night, you could probably rent a canoe while you wait for your table, you know. And there's this little lake. You have to look in the book, Mirror Lake. Anyway, the supper club overlooks this lake. It's just, it's really, really nice. So those are two good starters.
Great. Well, thanks, Dave Hoekstra.
I'm very impressed you came all the way to Madison for
this. All right. Well, okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
Dave Hoekstra's newest book, The Supper Club Book, was released earlier this month. He's been a writer with the Chicago Sun-Times since 1985 and has won a number of key awards. He lives in Chicago and loves Greek diners, especially the Golden Apple. He spoke with Eleanor Peterson inside the supper club called Smokey's Club in Madison. That's another week's worth of Lake Effects. Before we go, just a reminder that in the final days of WUWM's fiscal year, we're inviting you to make a contribution before Sunday. It's your chance to win the Radiolab Live VIP package, including two exclusive balcony box seats to the live show at the Riverside Theater on Friday, October 11th, a special pre-show rehearsal and meet and greet with Robert Krulwich and Jad Abramod, and much more. Make your year-end contribution today at wuwm.com/give or call us now at 414-270-1225 with your support and for your chance to win. Thanks so much. We're produced by Bonnie North, Stephanie Lecce, and Dan Harmon with support from Amy Kiley, Eleanor Peterson, Rachel Bloom, Nathan Royster, and Gabby Magianis. John Strelecki is our studio engineer. I'm Mitch Tyke. Have a great weekend, and I hope you'll make us a part of it. Join us again tomorrow and Sunday afternoon at 3 for Lake Effect Weekend from WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Fresh air is next. It's 11 o'clock.